of than other any other miracle time. Following along there, I'll get my Bible open, and we're going to take off 2 Kings chapter 4. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. Now there cried a woman, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets, unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." I can think of hardly a worse situation than she is in. Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house, a sling, a rod, an ark? What do you have in your house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow these vessels and abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went in from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." He said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, "Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt. And live thou and thy children of the rest." May the Lord his blessing to the reading of his word. We see one pot of oil. If I had seen the title earlier, I would have called tonight "The Mother Who Struck Oil at Home." But I did not see that until today. I was reading on commentaries on this lesson. But "The Mother Who Struck Oil at Home." Perhaps I'll even title that on the sermon audio. We'll see. But what a contrast. Last week, he is with Jehoram and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom. And they're beat up Moab. And he has a minstrel playing. And some great things have gone on last week. Now he's going from being the man among three kings to with a lady who is in need of some help. The spotlight has certainly changed in Elisha's life. There's the distress of the widow. Praise the Lord, if this widow goes to the right place. Can I ask you why she didn't turn in her Bible? Didn't have one. So she did what we turn to our Bibles and pray. She did what a person of that era did. She goes to the man of God, who is a spokesman for God. You want to hear from God? You needed to go to the man of God. And there was sorrow for sure. What was the widow's husband preparing to do before he died, evidently? Sons of the prophet. Very interesting. I was reading this week. Some believe that she was the wife of Obadiah, the one who had 50 prophets in a cave, and he had used his own funds and would not borrow from Ahab. Jehoram, the king now, wants him to pay for all the money he borrowed to feed the prophets. That's the Targum. Now, what is a Targum? I looked it up today. A Targum it's like a commentary. It's a Jewish commentary on Scripture. Now, it's like someone's giving a lesson like right now. Someone's preaching, someone's giving a lesson, and you were never to write it down because no one wanted to. The fear was this, that the writing of a human being would be put on par with the Word of God. And so they never wrote down the Targums, except they did. And some people didn't, were supposed to do what they did and when they weren't supposed to. The Targums say then that this was the wife of Obadiah. And Obadiah had passed on, and she is left with this debt because he had hid the prophets from Ahab. Interesting, if that is true. Now, could we be tempted to complain about inequity in the providence of this story? Absolutely. I mean, this is a wife of a husband who's studying for the ministry or doing the ministry, and now she has been serving the Lord. I think of the wife of James Coates. Have you followed the pastor in Canada that's in jail? And his wife has been very, very clear. Is he out yet? Been released? I don't know. Has he ever been released?
That's what I read today. It's released.
Oh, good. But she has been very forthright in praising the Lord. And so we've got to trust God and all this. And James knew what he's doing. And he was willing to go to jail if that's what it meant. He felt what the Lord had called him to do. And I was told my wife as I listened to the interview, what a lady of God she was to be able to respond. Because a lot of us would be, "I can't believe," you know, we'd go on and on and on. She was like, the Lord, obviously, it is his will for him to, is to happen this way. And she was just trusting God through it all. Now, we might complain, but God, does God make mistakes? And the answer is no. There's no mistakes. Every child that comes into the world is designed by God. God gives life and breath. There are no, I'll tell you, and I'm going to say, there's no illegitimate children. Now, there are, maybe perhaps there are people who should have done things the way they did to get the child born, but no child itself. Because God gives life. He does. God's the one who gives life. Now, question 3. Did this widow have a means of repaying the debt? And the answer to that, no. If you were a widow in that age, in that era, and in even Bible era times, it was a difficult time, even today. I mean, it can be difficult days. Widows have a difficult time. And so we find that there was no means for her to be able to make an income. She has no way to do that. And so there's going to be this pot. Now, this pot is perhaps a flask, a small vessel for the ordinary oil necessary for anointing the body. The oil likely was olive oil, which had many uses besides anointing the body. The oil was the ointment after bath, perhaps. Some think that the pot of oil was what the widow was kept for her burial. You remember, maybe you don't remember, one time I mentioned how the fact that a lady in New Testament time, those spinnaker jars that would break open, they would carry it around their neck. That was what they were carrying for the burial. And so they'd have it around, and they had that saved up. So very possibly Mary, when she broke that, was what she had saved for her own burial. And sometimes it was like a year's salary. It was so precious. Sometimes like a year's salary to save up enough for other people was. And so it was a very costly thing. Perhaps that was that. Perhaps it was just Weston oil. I don't know, kosher Weston oil back then. Perhaps that was what she had in there, but she's going to use that, and she's going to, the Lord's going to use it. Isn't it interesting that she didn't ask the lady for a stove? Didn't ask her for a printing press? Didn't ask her for 5 mules? Didn't ask her for a well-trained sheepdog? Didn't ask her for 5 ornery donkeys, like Mr. Rebel. He asked her for what she had. And isn't it interesting that God's only going to ask you for what you have? He's not going to ask you, use what you have. He's not going to ask you to be able to do this or that. He's not going to ask me to go out and fix Mr. Dickens' truck, because I have a bit no more man than what to do with that. The tire's flat, and he can put the air in it. That's about as far as I can go with his truck. And he's not going to ask Mr. Dickens to go out and play the piano Sunday morning or whatever. It's you use what God has given you to use. And that's what this lady, she, I've got this. David had a sling. Gideon had a pitcher, lamps, and a loud set of lungs. We had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We had Moses had a rod. Peter had friends with fishing nets and they become fishers of men. Do you see what God's asking of us? Is what you can do. Send a card. Send an email. Call somebody. Visit somebody. Or just sit outside and talk to them through the car window. Open the car window. Talk to them. Do things. Whatever we can. But that's what he's called us to do. Do that. He's not calling us to do some extravagant thing that's beyond our capabilities for. Then why is there debt in this situation? Again, very possibly because Obadiah had fed the men. And now Jehoram's calling in the marker. And so, but this man, we'll go ahead. A, his student status, and B, his salary prospects. This man of God was a student, and his salary prospects were probably not that great, and he's in debt. I'm not sure how he got in the debt in the first place, knowing that he couldn't repay, but perhaps he was willing to do that to save the lives of the prophets. It was us just to see what God has for us and not try to explain it all away. So often I spend far too much time jumping to conclusions instead of waiting to see and hear all the truth of what's happening. Page 2, we have slavery in verse 1. Shall we read the verse again? We shall. Now, there cried a certain woman of the wives, the sons of the prophets. And by the way, they were not monastic. They were not monks. They had wives. Unto Elijah, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house, etc. Now, what was the situation that finally led to the widow seeking Elisha's help? They're going to take my children. They'll take my children. Now, in the law, God recognized the responsibility of the debtor to satisfy his creditor, that this was only just and honest, but cruelty in debt collection was forbidden. Did this creditor abide by the guidelines of Leviticus? Well, it'd be something interesting to ask and to look in your own. We find then, I was reading this week about the creditor. Again, it possibly was Jehoram, son of Ahab. We find that they were allowed, the Hebrew allows them to get the children were considered property of the parents and a right to dispose of them. The Romans went so far even to say that the child was the property of the parents no matter how old they were. Truth is this, is that in Roman era, the Christians saved a lot of Roman babies. When a baby was born and the dad did not like the sex of the baby, they could put it outside the door. And so the Christians would go through the neighborhoods and they would grab the babies and raise them as their own because they were laid aside by the Romans. Because the Romans, that was how much power the father had over the children. Now, there also, I was reading, Wiersbe said, but the creditor did not abide by the injunction here, and they were not supposed to treat them as abject slaves. Yes, they could become their servants, but they were refrained from treating them as a slave. So this creditor did, in truth, have a right in that culture to ask that the children be given to him as servants to help pay off the debt. There are other directives to the widow in verse 2. It says there, to what do you have? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Now, she went to the word of God. We know that, the man of God, because that's where the word of God came from. Was Elisha known? Absolutely known as a man of God. We saw that even in verse 7 it was. It said, yes, and then she came and told the man of God. And you remember the Shunammite woman who said, now I know that thou art a man of God. And so Elisha was that. I wonder, what do we know us for? When people say, what do we know him for? Well, he's a man of God, or he's this. I wonder what we're known as. We know our name, yes. Other people with our very same name. So we got a different, are you known for? So the borrowing. And there was the testing of her faith. The fact of the borrowing, it may have seemed quite foolish for the widow to start borrowing these vessels when she had no money. What are you going to do with this? Can you imagine? No. I've got four back here in the backyard, but what are you going to use them for, Missy? Well, I just was told to get them. Well, I don't know. I want to give them up that much. I'm not intelligent. Can you imagine all the things they had to go through just to get the bar of those? What was the potential problem in borrowing from the neighbors that they're going to be nosy and they're going to want to know all these things? And her faith had to be strong. I'm going to go out and borrow those and bring them in. What are we going to do? I've only got one small little. I'm only got enough to make one pancake. And you got all these things. It's like to feed the whole neighborhood, to feed the whole city. And the amount of borrowing is really, she's facing this big debt. And he says, go borrow. And I love the way it says, not a few. Oh, just get a couple. Go out there. Think big. It was extensive. How do we know? She went to all the neighbors. And the son said later on, she said, there is none other. We have borrowed all. But we have scavenged the area, Mom, and there's none left to borrow going forward. And so they were all there. What was the qualification? Page 3. What was the qualification? What spiritual application can we make from the fact that the vessels had to be empty? We must be empty to be obedient. To be part of our obedience is being willing to be used. So often I am so full of myself that God has a very hard time. He's got to root out me before he can ever get to make me usable, to fill us. And so she had to bring things that were empty. Now there was the instruction of her faith in verse 4. She says that she is to go into her house, close the door. She did all that. And thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. To find there is a sacredness of her faith, the world would cheapen the work of God and make it a spectacle for entertainment and self-gain. The world loves to do that, loves to make fun of the sacredness. For example, we in our culture, we are facing the determined destruction of biblical marriage. If you've been watching that, with their determination that we want to change that biblical run, to even think that you are in line with the Bible says, which many people for decades and centuries have abided by, you now that you are, I'm on the wrong side of history, by the way, because I think that what the Bible says is correct, and you are, by the way, as well, if you think that what the Bible says is correct. We're on the wrong side of the current history, but people want to cheapen the work of God. She was obedient, the sacredness of faith, and then there's the seeing of faith. Who had the privilege of seeing the miracle? It was the widow and her son. She obeyed. And you and I, if we will trust and wait for God to move in a way, we can see him work if we'll just wait. And I think difficulty for us is waiting. Waiting to see. God's timetable is not yours and certainly not mine. But he does these things, and he's always exactly right on time. He waited to go to Lazarus' grave to show the power of God. He gave Gideon not 32,000, not 22,000, but 300 and no swords. Can you imagine going to fight 135,000 with 300 guys? Now they were opera singers, maybe with great lungs, and they could throw their pitchers real good, and they could carry a lamp, but they couldn't fight with a hoot. They didn't have a sword. Can you imagine going into a battle like that? And what was the whole purpose? You know what the purpose was, right? That God would be glorified. There's no way that happens. But God does it. There's no way it happens outside of God. Does the world honor faith? It does not honor faith. I just read this yesterday. Mr. Ham tweeted about Mr. Hawkins, who is one of the most renowned atheists in the world, was coming around to where he almost was the belief of gender identity as found in Scripture rather than what's being promoted by some. He was even almost on art. Not that he was agreeing to Bible terminology and Bible belief, but the principle of gender identity and what God has designed in the Bible, not that God designed it, is more correct. You know, as we're moving away from that, he was scared that we're moving away from that, and we should all be scared we're moving away from that. Not scared, but concerned and praying. It's not how much we have that makes a difference, but how dedicated to God it is. And there was the deliverance of the widow in verse 7. She pours them all out. There's nothing left. And then she came and told the man of God and said, "Go, sell the oil and pay thy debt and live thou and thy children of the rest. Go, sell, and pay thy debt." Now, what was the indicator that the deliverance was indeed sufficient? What was paid? Not only what she owed, but above and beyond, now go and maybe sell and then put that in the bank and live on the rest of that. God provided a marvelously for this lady. She asked, and God came through. The oil could be used probably in many, many ways. The creditor, though cruel he might have been, did have a legitimate claim. He had loaned, and it was due him. God was not going to get this woman out of trouble at the expense of justice to the creditor. The sufficiency of the deliverance was inseparably tied to her and should be O-B-E-D, I-E-N-C-E on page 4. Obedience. If she had not borrowed all the vessels she could, she would not have had enough oil to pay off the debt and live on the rest. It was a faith thing. It was a faith. How much faith am I going to exhibit that God will provide for me? There was a story of two guys were trout fishing. And been there all day. One man had a very strange habit. Every time he would catch a trout, he would pull out a little line ruler and measure it. If the trout measured larger than the ruler, he would throw it back. So, strangely enough, he kept all the little trout that he caught, but threw all the big ones back. Well, his partner watched him do this all day long, and as they prepped to leave, he looked at the man and said, "I can't stand this any longer. I've never seen a man fish like you in all my life. You've kept all the small trout and thrown back all the big ones." The man said, "Sure did." He said, "Why did you do that?" The man said, "Because I only have an 8-inch frying pan." And sometimes I believe that we have only an 8-inch frying pan when it comes to God's blessings. And we don't trust him that he can do great, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And he can do these things if we will but trust. Now, it may not turn out. I like what Bill said tonight when he's praying. Lord, it may not be what we want, but we want that your will to be done, not just in our lives, but in our country's lives. We would pray to that end. So finally, in closing, the salvation and the deliverance, there was the curse of sin. This widow in her distress pictures the sinner under the curse of sin. There is death. There is nothing but death that lies in the future. Physical, spiritual death for those who don't know Christ. There was debt. There is an indebtedness that we can never, ever, ever pay. It's all of grace. All of grace. None of us. And there's slavery. It's a slavery to sin. Either the Lord is your master or Satan is your master. And people are so, well, I'm going to get out from under the confines of religion, and I'm going to do what I want to do. And then quickly you'll find yourself to be in slavery to something else. Slavery is such a part even of our culture. I was just reading in 2019, a man did a two-year study. My wife's been watching this, of ladies who leave Korea and are sold into slavery in China. And it's sex slavery, but at least 60% of the ladies who leave Korea and go to China, 60% are sold into that kind of slavery from the age of as young as 12. And they are sold for one time, like $4.30. And sold for $157. You're sold to a man for $150 for life. $157. This is 2019. This is going on as we speak right now. North Korean women are in such a need to try to escape. And we sit here in America, not us per se, but if a car stops too long in front of me, oh, what's he doing? Does he know how big a important I am? And we have had blessings out the wazoo, and we don't even think about what God has done for us to all these things. He's allowed us to, the blessings upon us. And we don't forget there are people in the world today, just like this creditor was coming for these two boys, there's people in the world today who have been so mistreated. And yet, we get so caught up in other things. Sin has nothing good to say about sin. The ultimate, it's slavery. And then there was condemnation of the law. She was condemned. The counsel of the word. She went to the man of God. And the character of salvation, her deliverance, was the result of a miracle. It was merciful. It was expensive. It was sufficient. It was through the agency of oil. So Jesus is the miracle, our salvation. Jesus in mercy and love saved us. It was cost his very life. It was sufficient once and for all. The sacrifice has been given that we might have life. And it was through the Holy Spirit also being a part of that, bringing salvation to us. Elisha, whether he is with Jehoram, Jehoshaphat, and king of Edom, or he's with an unnamed widow of a preacher's wife who's lost her husband, he's still the same. He is speaking God's word here. He's speaking God's word here. And that should be you and I. We should be a people of mercy. Blessed are the merciful. And only God can help us to do that. So maybe be merciful this week. Help us, Lord, as we think about this lesson. Thank you for Elisha's commitment to you, whether in the company of many or the company of three. Lord, may we always be about your business. So Lord, give us safety as we go home tonight and the rest of this week. Give us opportunities to share the gospel as you would give them to us to be a witness in some capacity. And Lord, be with the puppet team coming on Sunday. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.